The following podcast has been brought to you by Catholic Digital Resources. Visit the website catholicdr.com for downloadable parish resources. At Catholic Digital Resources, you can find faith-building bulletin inserts on the Sunday Scriptures, RCIA materials, ready-made PowerPoints for catechists, faith-sharing materials for Bible study groups and small Christian communities, and much more. Download faith formation resources and evangelization tools from Catholic Digital Resources at catholicdr.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org presents Footsteps to Heaven. Life's a journey full of challenges. Sometimes we get stalled. Sometimes we get sidetracked. When we walk with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to the destination that God the Father designed for us, the results are better than we could ask for or imagine. And now, here is your host, Terry Modica.
In the last episode of Footsteps to Heaven, I talked about the four-second prayer that defeats Satan. This podcast is a follow-up to that. You might want to listen to it after or even before, better yet, you listen to this podcast because the two of them work very well together. And what I'm going to share now is how our hardships, the daily hardships that we experience, are affected by Satan and the prayers that we do and our connection to Christ. We all have very difficult hardships. How much of this is demonically influenced? How much should we be doing spiritual warfare prayers? How much should we be doing what I talked about in the last episode because of the hardships that we are facing? To answer that, first let's look at the fact that there are three different types of spirits. There is the Holy Spirit, and I'm not talking about capital H Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, although God is, of course, part of this Holy Spirit side of things. There are also angels who are Holy Spirits. In other words, the perfect, the pure, the loving, completely loving all the time spirit, the spirit that wants what's best for us all the time, the spirit of all that is God in all of God's wholeness and purity. Then there is the demonic spirit, which is the opposite of that. Although the word opposite can be misleading, a lot of times we think of Satan as the opposite of God, as if the two were equal, but just on different sides of the fence. Of course, we know God is much more powerful, infinitely more powerful, than all the dark forces put together. The third type of spirit is the human spirit. We are all made in the image of God, but it doesn't mean that the human spirit is always connected to the divine. The human spirit is limited in our understanding of truth, limited in our perspective of what's going on. So in our hardships, our human spirit is often misled or often misunderstanding what's going on, is often frustrated, is often led to tears because we are a limited spirit that is faced with the opportunity to connect ourselves to the divine or the temptation to give in to what is not divine, what is unholy, what is demonic. So with these three spirits in mind, let's look at the hardship that you're facing right now, the hardships that we all go through. We're all, everybody listening to this, myself included, have very hard times that we're going through. The only people who are not going through life with a bunch of hardships, they're living in a bubble. I know lots of people who have life fairly easy, and they're living in a bubble. They are, in other words, not a threat to demons. They are not getting the attention of demons. They're living in the bubble of, everything's fine. I can make up my own rules about how to keep everything fine. And I know good Christians, many good Christians who are caught up in this bubble of everything's fine. They neither strive to make a difference for God's kingdom, nor give in very much to the temptations of the devil. But this is not how God wants you and me to be. God wants to make a difference in this world, to bring people to Him through you and me. God wants to rescue people from demonic strongholds through you and me. God wants to make the kingdom of heaven more fully present on earth. And He does that through you and me. When we make the decision to truly follow Christ and truly, truly imitate Him, you know what following Christ means? It means we sometimes go to the cross. It means we are persecuted because of what we believe and what we profess. Following Christ means doing His mission, doing what He did. And I've said it in other podcasts. This is one of my favorite scriptures, John 14:12. Jesus said, "If you believe in me, you will do the same works that I do and even greater ones than these." Following Jesus means that we follow in His footsteps, every type of His footsteps, every one of His footsteps. And remember how Satan tempted Jesus before He began His public ministry? Satan did not want Jesus to do what Jesus was going to do. Well, guess what? Satan doesn't want you to do what Jesus wants to do through you. So this podcast is about how to look at the hardships that you're going through in light of the three spirits, the three types of spirits, the holy, the demonic, and the human spirit that God placed within you. First of all, hardships happen simply because we are not yet in heaven. We live in an imperfect world, a fallen world. We live where death happens. You know, things decay. Troubles come because we're imperfect and we are surrounded by the imperfect. You know, just look at the aging body. If some of your hardships are coming because you're aging, it's probably not demonic. It's just that you're living on this side of heaven's gate. But some hardships do have demonic influence behind them. And when you realize what is going on, you can defeat the evil. Refer back to my previous podcast on how to do that. Defeating demonic forces, if you have Christ in you, is easy. It doesn't make the hardship stop, although sometimes it can turn off immediately through doing spiritual warfare. But we are living in a world of the combination of all three types of spirits working together, or I don't mean together as in collaboration, but working at the same time in the same hardships. To get a clearer understanding of what's going on in your particular hardships, let's look at the seven different steps or phases that happen in our lives due to the presence of Satan and demons in this world. The first thing that Satan does to try to keep us from being who we are in Christ, from doing what Jesus did, and from making the difference that Jesus wants to make in this world through us, the first thing that Satan does is temptation. Every temptation that we experience, and we are all tempted every day, multiple times. Temptation is very normal for this earthly life because of the fallen world that we're living in, and because of the weakness of human nature. Temptations come in many forms, and temptations are basically Satan's attempt to pull us away from the holy life and the supernatural life that God wants to give us and to be joined to us in. Temptation, if we give into it, leads to enslavement to the false ideas, the lies that Satan wants us to believe. For example, when I was a teenager, I was tempted into finding the answers to my prayers in the occult. I grew up in what I call a bubble form of Protestant denominations in which everything's nice. We didn't talk about demons. I did not believe that demons were real. So if demons are not real, and the Bible talks about the supernatural happening to everyday people, everyday Christians, then how do you get these miracles? How do you get the supernatural into your own life? This is what I questioned as a child. Satan tempted me through the occult. He said, of course, I didn't hear any voices. I did not know Satan was talking to me because I didn't believe that Satan was real. But Satan said, look, here's the supernatural. Demons helped make the supernatural happen. I got involved in the Ouija board. That was the first tool that Satan used to tempt me into the occult. The Ouija board began to give answers that my sister and I did not know as we played with it together, thinking it was just a game. And once I began to get supernatural answers, that led me into seances and fortune telling and palm reading and all sorts of things of the occult. And I took my sister with me. I was the one who spearheaded it. I was the older one, and I was the one who was determined to find the supernatural. I got together with some friends and led them into it as well, and we began to have seances. Little did I know that I was leading us all into the enslavement to lies, the enslavement to false ideas. And do you know where all false ideas lead to? To the disbelief that God is real, that God is who He says He is, and that means the disbelief that we need Jesus in order to get to heaven, that we need to accept what He did for us on the cross in order to get to heaven, because the lies enslave us to the belief that there is no sin. We don't need Jesus to save us. Well, Jesus did save me from that. He rescued me from those lies that I was believing. And He did it after I'd been playing around with the occult for 7 years, and I had lost my relationship with Jesus through that. Jesus rescued me by introducing me to His Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. And it is the Holy Spirit who is the Spirit of truth, as Jesus told us. And it is the Spirit of truth who convinced me that I was believing lies. One by one, He replaced the lies I was believing about the occult with the truth that is found in Scripture, that is found in the teachings of the Catholic Church, the theology that was available to me through the Catholic Church, theology that I had not grown up with, including awareness of the saints, who, by the way, were filled with supernatural activities in their lives, without being involved in the occult, of course, through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirits of angels and the Holy Spirit that came and filled them so that their human spirit was united to the Holy Spirit of God, the fullness of God, not just the third person of the Trinity, but the fullness of God, because we need Jesus too as Redeemer, and we need a personal relationship with God the Father, because Jesus said He came to reveal the Father. So the first phase was temptation. The second phase is when we turn to Jesus and repent of what we have done when we gave in to temptation. This repentance, this turning to Jesus, frees us from the enslavements that we've been in and fills us with the truth. And the truth sets us free, as He said. The truth sets us free to live the supernatural life that God intended for us and to live in a wonderful supernatural, did you know that this is happening to you, a supernatural event of knowing that you are loved just the way you are, even with your imperfections, even with your unrepented sins. When we turn to Jesus and live in the freedom that comes from the truth that the Holy Spirit gives us, we know we are loved. And if you're not sure you are loved, there is some kind of demonic undertone that you need to get rid of. Please go back to my previous podcast to set yourself free. Or I should say, to put yourself where Jesus can set you free. The third phase that happens is re-temptation. Satan doesn't want to give up on us. He does not want to lose us. So he re-tempts us. You know, that's why we fall back into sin. First of all, I want to point out that the sacrament of confession gives us supernatural grace to resist temptation when it comes again. If we go directly to God without going through the sacrament of confession, we very well may stay on the path of growing in holiness and resisting this temptation again. But if you find yourself repeating sins, you need the sacrament of confession. You need the supernatural grace that comes with that. Retemptations happen because Satan doesn't want to lose us. But if we resist going back into those temptations, saying no, resist through saying, greater is he who is in me, Jesus Christ, than he who is tempting me, the devil. Resist by doing the opposite of what temptation wants us to do. And you know what? That is one of the most powerful ways to defeat demons. Do the opposite of what they want you to do. Yes, it takes determination and strength and zeal for the Lord to do that, but we can do that. All we need to do is say, Lord, help. Help me do this. Come, Holy Spirit. Help me to do the opposite of what this temptation wants me to do. When we are re-tempted and resist, we grow stronger in faith. A moment ago, I shared with you my involvement in the occult and my escape from it. It wasn't long after that the re-temptation happened to me. My sister, who had been involved in the occult with me, she did not have an experience of the Holy Spirit. No one introduced the Holy Spirit to her, and so she remained in the occult. And in fact, one of her friends was a Satan worshiper, and she didn't feel anything was wrong about that. So after my conversion, I tried to share with her what had happened to me and what it's like to have the Holy Spirit. Well, she did not have ears to hear. She and her friend became pawns of Satan trying to tempt me back into the occult. My sister said that they would come over to hear what I had to say about my experiences with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. My husband Ralph and I prayed and discerned that the Holy Spirit was telling us that their motive was not truly to hear what we had to say, that Satan was actually behind their visit. So before they got there, we did spiritual warfare. We also posted holy angels in front of every door and window, and we filled the house with God's presence. Well, guess what happened? When my sister and her friend arrived, they came into our home, they sat down on our couch, but they sat on the edge of the couch like they were ready to leave. They couldn't wait to leave. You know, they weren't comfortable here. They never brought up anything about what they had come to tell us, and they left in 10 minutes. We just had a nice, polite little time together because they did not have ears to hear what we were saying, so we didn't even bring it up because Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. In other words, if somebody's not ready to hear the truth, don't waste your breath. Pray for them, but don't waste your breath. The fourth phase that happens is retaliation. The devils don't like it when we resist temptations and grow stronger in faith as a result of that resisting temptation. So they retaliate. They retaliate, usually, through someone else's vulnerability, someone else's weaknesses, someone else's weakness to temptation. Like, for example, soon after Ralph and I founded Good News Ministries, someone who was a dear friend, a longtime friend, who joined the core team, became Satan's instrument of retaliation. He was a good man, he was a good friend, but he had a major weakness. He was an alcoholic. And Satan used that weakness. With alcoholism comes codependency. And this friend became very codependent upon us, and things got very squirrely. Things got very difficult. I heard God say to me before things got difficult, just a few days before things got very difficult, I heard God ask me, "Are you willing to suffer to become more effective in ministry?" Well, of course, my answer at first was no. But I resisted that temptation and said, "Yes, you know what, Lord? If you think this is what is best, I trust you, and you will keep me safe. You will help me through it." And right after that, things got squirrely. Not because God had asked me to suffer, but because it was going to happen anyways, and God prepared me for it. Things got so bad that eventually, though we tried to help this friend, he did not resist the temptations. And it ended up destroying our relationship. It ended up destroying his ministry. But before he died, he reconciled with Ralph and me. The fifth phase is persecution. If we stand up to retaliation by handling it the way God wants us to, then the devil brings in persecution. The devil hates us so much and gets angry at us so much that he brings in persecutions through the people who, again, the people who are vulnerable to being his pawns. Vulnerable because of their sins. Vulnerable because they are turning away from God instead of towards God. For me, the first persecution came when people who knew us in Good News Ministry, some of whom were on our core team, failed to understand why we were taking a stand against this alcoholic friend, why we were trying to get him to recovery from alcoholism, and why we were actually removing him from being on the core team. We were persecuted by some of our own people. And eventually they too left the ministry. The persecution got harder. My own son rejected us. Our own son started persecuting us. He had gotten involved in the occult despite being raised in the faith. He used to be alive in the Catholic faith. He used to have a great relationship with Christ. He used to know who the Holy Spirit was. But he became intrigued by the occult. This again goes back to the phase of retaliation. Satan retaliated against my rejection of the occult by finding a way to get my son into the occult. He found my son's naive curiosity and got a little wedge in there, opened the door a crack, and kept wedging it more and more open. When my son went off to college, where he met other people who were not filled with faith, and the occult was more readily available to him, he got sucked into it more and more. And in his vulnerability, he became one of my biggest persecutors. But God doesn't stop the story there. God promised me a long time ago, when I was pregnant with my son, as I was praying for him, I heard very clearly. You know, it's one of those moments that it is so clear. Most of the times when God speaks to me, I have to question, is it my imagination or not? And I have to go through a discernment process. But this was a moment that God wanted me to be sure it was him speaking. And he said to me, "My son and this was before I knew whether my unborn child was a boy or a girl, he said, "My son will do great things for me." I know now that this was God preparing me for the time when I would be utterly rejected by my son, and God would be utterly rejected by my son. But I was never to give up hope, because God is bigger and greater than all the demonic forces that have a hold of my son. God will have his way. And that gives me joy, the hope that is in God. It's not wishful thinking. Hope is a guaranteed result because God is in charge. Hope is the foreknowledge that we will receive what is guaranteed. And in that, I have joy. But it's more than just in the knowledge. It is in my personal relationship with the Holy Spirit that I'm able to have this joy. Joy is the sixth phase. Joy defeats the devil because the devil doesn't want us to have this joy. The devil wants us to be undermined by temptations and retaliation and persecution. When we have joy in the Lord, despite what is going on in our hardships, the devil is defeated. And the devil cannot take that joy away from us. We can give it away, and we give it away when we turn away. Now, I don't mean give it away by sharing it with others. That kind of giving away is good. But if we give our joy back to the devil, if we give into discouragement and fear and hopelessness and whatever else is the opposite of joy, if we give into the temptation to feel joyless, it's because we are not focusing on Jesus. My motto, my life motto is keep your eyes on Jesus. No matter what is going on, keep your eyes on Jesus. Because he has the victory. He gives you the joy through his Holy Spirit. A supernatural joy that gets us through our hardships. Yes, hardships are not fun. Hardships don't make us happy. Hardships can make us cry, can make us angry. But go back to what I said about these negative feelings in the previous podcast. You can immediately and quickly get rid of these negative feelings and live in joy. The joy that the Holy Spirit gives us because we are united to God. That is the seventh phase. Union with Christ. Union through the Holy Spirit. Union with the Father. Union with the all three persons of the Holy Trinity. Joy, because we are turning to Christ instead of focusing on what the devil wants us to think about and feel and be miserable over. Turning to Christ, trusting in God, trusting his plans for you. This is union with God. This is faith that defeats demons, because demons cannot take you away from God unless you want to let demons do that. And of course, you don't want to let that happen. So fight the good fight, my friend. You have Jesus on your side. And pray this for the hardships that you are now going through. Come, Holy Spirit, renew me. Come, Holy Spirit, re-energize me in your divine power to face my hardships, deal with my hardships, get through my hardships, find the solutions, find the ways around the obstacles that the Father wants to provide, and give me the joy that comes from you, from being immersed in you. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me with truth, fill me with joy, fill me with your ability to overcome my hardships. Come, Holy Spirit, you have my permission to change me. Amen. This podcast was made possible by supporters of Good News Ministries who hope to strengthen and build your faith. If this episode speaks to your heart, then I ask you to pass it along to your family and friends. Share it on Facebook and Twitter. Forward it by text and email. And let us know what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. How has this episode made a difference? You can contact me through the Good News Ministries website at gnm.org or by texting me if you are one of our subscribers on WhatsApp. May I ask a favor of you? Please cover this life-changing podcast ministry in your daily prayers. And if you can, help me continue making these podcasts by becoming a sponsor. Any donation is helpful, but we are especially seeking sponsors for upcoming episodes.
You've been listening to Terry Modica of Good News Ministries. For more faith builders, or to learn more about this ministry, come visit our website at gnm.org. You'll find online resources and lots more to help you know the Father's love and grow closer to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Visit gnm.org today.